John has been likened to be a book that is deep enough theologically for an elephant to wade in or to be drowned in, but also it is shallow enough for a child to be able to wade in it. It's a great, wonderful book. It really is. And one of the things I love about the Scriptures, as I read it, is I love to look at the mysterious side of the Scriptures, that side of God, that face of God, which no man can fathom because of His omnipotence, because of His greatness, because He is beyond our expectation. He is far beyond our limitations as well. I love that. Paul speaks very often about the mysteries of God. I love that. I love oftentimes to just ponder the greatness and the mysteries of God. But what I like even more so, too, is not only the greatness of God, but I also like, too, that the Scriptures, God Himself, is extremely practical as well. He's not so mysterious for us that we just sit there and just, wow, have our minds blown, but He is very practical as well. And such is the case in the Scriptures before us. We looked at John chapter 14 last week, and we saw where Jesus had told His apostles as He was going to be departing, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled." He said, "You have the hope of heaven." You have the hope of heaven. He gives a wonderful perspective. There's trouble that's coming, but don't forget, you're just passing through. You're just passing through. I love that. The hope of heaven. But here in chapter 15, we have help here on earth. That's the practical side of God. We have help right here on earth. God says, you're passing through, and you need to wait. Keep your perspective correct. You've got the hope of heaven, but while you're waiting, I'm going to give you a survival kit. In fact, it's more than a survival kit. It's a thriving kit. A thriving kit. John chapter 15 is talking about, very practically, in the waiting time, as we are going through this life, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, looking forward to the time that we can go home, God has given us ways where we can practically now, in the Scriptures, just thrive and do well, help on earth. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we need to realize, again, as we know, that Jesus is growing closer and closer to the cross. He is literally just hours away from the cross and just minutes away, in reality, from being arrested. He has concluded his upper room discourse with the men at the end of chapter 14. And as you read verse 31 of chapter 14, Jesus says, "Arise and let us go from here." And what is happening now in chapter 15, in all reality, is said to Jesus, to his apostles, the men that he has being with. He's just hanging out with his guys right now, preparing them for his departure. And he's with these guys, and he says, "Let's go." And where is he going? He's going to be going through from the upper room, through the streets of Jerusalem, past the temple, through the Kidron Valley. There will be water. He'll be going across the Kidron River. There will be water that will be coming from the Kidron River. Water that will be used, that will be actually flowing from near the temple. There will be the blood of lambs flowing in this water. Ironic that Jesus Christ now on Passover would be crossing this river, seeing the blood there flowing from the lambs that are going to be sacrificed. And he heads to the Kidron Valley, and he'll be heading with his disciples up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will intercede and begin to pray and finally and ultimately be betrayed by Judas. Yes, arrested and crucified. So what is happening now in John chapter 15 is said as Jesus is moving, "Arise, let us go from here." And he says, now, walking again through the towns, through the streets, I'm sorry, of the town of Jerusalem, going past now this beautiful temple there, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father," verse 1, "is the vine dresser." Jesus, probably walking past the temple, looks at these huge doors that are on the temple door, and he sees there a vine, a grapevine. It's the national symbol of Israel. It's the national symbol. If you look at Isaiah chapter 5, you'll see a reference to vines, vine dressers, and grapevines. And it has become, and it's a reference to Israel. And it has become Israel's national field now. And Jesus now
preparing his apostles, his men, the guys that he loved to the very end, he sees that, knowing that tribulation is going to be coming their way simply because of these guys' fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, he sees this vine, and he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And he says then in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it, or purges, your Bible may have in there, that it may bear more fruit. If I had a nickel for every message I heard on this passage of Scripture about pruning and taking away, and how God comes in to his people, again, this is a reference to his children. This is not a reference to non-Christians. This is a reference to his people. If I had a nickel for everyone that preached that God is going to prune you and God is going to lift you up and take you away if you're not producing fruit, I could retire by now. I honestly believe, as I have researched this, as I have studied Schofield, as I have studied other commentators as well, as I have listened to men much greater than myself, as I have looked at and checked the Greek lexicons, I really believe that this is, that what we have here, when it says that he takes away branches that don't bear fruit, and he prunes fruit, I think the words here are not correct. They're not the correct interpretations of them. And I challenge you to check out your own Greek lexicons and look. Again, this is a reference to his own people. It says here, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The word there is, in the Greek, is aero, A-I-R-O. And it is interpreted here in my Bible, the King James Bible, as takes away. Three of the four Greek definitions for the word aero, A-I-R-O, three of the four is lifting up, or raising up, or pulling up. Those are the definitions. The fourth definition of that is takes away. Only the fourth definition of that. And you can refer to John chapter 11, verse 41, where the same word aero is used when it says that Jesus lifted up his eyes. The exact same word is being used there as is being used here. But in here it has not been translated lifted up as the other previous, or as three of the definitions are, but it is interpreted takes away. And I don't think that's the correct meaning of it, because it doesn't follow contextually, doesn't follow logically, nor does it follow linguistically, and you'll see that as we kind of play this out, following the text. But it also says here that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. The word there, the word prune, there is katharizo, okay? K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z-O, which is where we get the word catharsis, which means to cleanse. And what I think is happening here is that the correct interpretation of this, or the correct reading of this, would be every branch in me, okay, those that are in him, that does not bear fruit, he lifts up, and every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses, that it may bear more fruit. If you look at John chapter 13, when Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples, this word kakarizo, again, is used there when Jesus cleansed his disciples' feet. And so what's happening here, the correct reading of this, again, I think, is that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges, or he cleans, that it may bear more fruit. Because this is the thing. The standard teaching on this is, you begin to be fruitful, God begins to bless your life, look out, man, because he's going to prune you. He's going to come in with a knife, or he's going to come in with a, you know, some type of clamps or something that's going to cut you off. You can expect difficult times. And you know, that doesn't really encourage me to want to be very fruitful. It just doesn't encourage me to be very fruitful. And I think here, it doesn't follow contextually, because it says, he goes, now, in verse 3, now, having made this statement, if we interpret this now, every branch in me that does not bear fruit,
He takes away every branch of dirt that He prunes, then you are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? But if you look at it as lifting and washing, suddenly you say, Jesus says, now you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. It follows then, contextually, definition-wise, and logistically. It seems to follow at this point. And what that means then is this. If you were a farmer, if you were a grape farmer, and you came walking through your grapes and you saw a potentially fruitful bough lying on the ground, rather than cut it off, and you would lift it up. So what? It could bear fruit. And rather than cut you off, it would wash the fruit. It would wash the fruit so that it would be able to bear more fruit. And that seems to be, in my mind, the real flow here. And I can say, great, Lord. Wonderful. I want to bear fruit. As opposed to, hey man, don't be fruitful because the hatchet's coming down and it's going to whack you off. You know, I don't see that in the scriptures. Now, Jesus now, saying, I am the true vine, making his eighth or his last of the ego I-me statements, the I am statements, who is also preparing his guys to live here on earth while they're awaiting for heaven. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The first thing here is this, guys. The first thing I want us to look at is this. How are we to live while waiting for the Lord? In the Word. In the Word. Practically, in the Word of God. That's why we are committed here at Calvary Chapel to the teaching of the Word of God. It cleanses us. It lifts us up. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 5 about the washing of the water by the Word of God. The Word of God, it washes us, it cleanses us, it lifts us up. Especially as I look at the Scriptures, at the Word of God, who became flesh, Jesus Christ, who was lifted up. And I look at the Scriptures, and I can become cleansed from my own personal sins. I can find myself becoming free now in the Scriptures as I'm washed to it from the sins and the burdens that I struggle with, and I'm lifted up as I see Jesus Christ on the cross that I should have been lifted up on. He was lifted up and became the fruit of the cross, the first fruit of the grave. The Word of God, it is important for us, not only to be in the Word of God, but guys, when you study, look for the person of Jesus Christ when you study. Don't read necessarily the words. Yes, look for the principles and apply the principles. They are there. They are there for you. But more importantly, when you study the Scriptures, look for the person of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And that's one of the things we are committed here to at Calvary Chapel, again, is teaching of the Word, but also revealing the person of Jesus Christ, who was lifted up, who cleansed us from our sin, who allows us to be fruitful as well. May I encourage you to continue to stay in church, a Bible-teaching church. Come out on Wednesday night. Oh, I know it's difficult to come out on Wednesdays, but we're going through the Scriptures. And in your own personal devotions, in your own personal Bible study, journal, the things that God is showing to you, staying in the Word of God. God says here, practically speaking to His apostles here, He says, you are already clean because of the Word which I've spoken to you. Practically. As I'm leaving you here now, I'm going to give you help. You're looking towards heaven, but I'm going to give you help right now as you're hoping. And that is, one, is the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Verse 4, He says, then, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus speaking, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Abide in Christ, he says, and abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I'm really not interested in this fruit thing. You know, what's fruit? You know, it doesn't click with me. I'm not really into this whole thing for fruit. Let me tell you something. Fruit's what we live for. When you work 65 years, you will hope that you will be able to enjoy the fruit of your labors in your retirement. When your kids grow up, I mean, enjoying my kids so much, both Danielle and Sarah now, because I'm relating to them now as adults
it's a great relationship right now. They think, they have interesting perspectives on things, and I'm enjoying, and I respect them. And what's going on in their mind? I go, wow, these are two young ladies right now. They're not little kids anymore, although they always will be to me. But they're ladies right now, and I'm enjoying now the fruit of 16 and seven, almost 18 years now of our efforts as parents, and Debbie and I both are. We live for a two-week vacation, the fruit of the year, our labor. And I'm telling you guys, fruit is what we live for if we were honest about it. We're living for fruit now. It says here that you will bear much fruit. What is the fruit that he's talking about here? Well, in the scriptures, there are several references to fruit. Romans chapter 1, verse 6, 13, and I believe all these are encompassed in here when it speaks of fruit. Having a fruitful life. One is converts. Romans chapter 1, verse 13 talks about converts being fruit. Being fruit. Also, character. When Jesus Christ comes into your life and the Holy Spirit makes his habitation within you, there is what? The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You know it well. Love, joy, peace. You know all those. A scripture of character, righteousness, also Romans chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, and I think Philippians chapter 1, too, speaks of the fruit of righteousness. Also, Hebrews chapter 13, 15 speaks of the fruit of our lips, which is what? Praise. Praise. And Jesus now says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Your life will be fruitful. It will be productive in all areas. Evangelism, your own personal character, praise, righteousness, there will be fruit that just begins to come in your life. When we are in the presence of God, abiding just means living with, being alongside of, abiding, pitching your tent, building your house right next to Jesus Christ. And it speaks of the presence of God. That's what it speaks of. First off, in this world, practically, what help does God give us? The Word of God. And secondarily, He gives us His presence. And we need His presence. Not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I think that's how you spell that. His presence. I love in the scriptures, Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, the mother of Samuel. Hannah, she has got great turmoil. She can't eat. There's a scowl on her face, it says. And she goes into the presence of the Lord. She goes into the tabernacle. She begins to pray. She comes out after she prays. And it says that her countenance was no longer sad. I love that. Jacob, Genesis chapter 32. Jacob was a man who is a heel catcher, as his name means, heel catcher. So he was all of his life, for 40, 50, 60 years of his life. And God comes to him and says, what do you want from me? He says, I need a change. I'm Israel. I'm Jacob. I'm a heel catcher. All my life I've snapped things to myself. I've connived. And there in the presence of God, as he wrestled with God there at Peniel, God touches his hip. We've talked about that. And his countenance changed, and his name changed, and his physical appearance changed, too, as he limped for the rest of his life. And when we are in the presence of God, there's a change that takes place within us. God does it. When we abide in him, when we're just connected to him, there's a change that takes place. How does it happen? I have the faintest idea. It's one of those mysteries I was telling you about. I haven't the faintest idea, but it happens. You just begin to take on, I think, within us the same nature of that which we are abiding with. I can tell where you guys have been hanging out by the fruit that's in your life. You can tell where I've been by the fruit that's coming in my life, out of my life, sometimes out of my lips, sometimes out of my countenance. I'm reminded of Moses, who had been in the presence of God, the abiding presence of God, and his countenance changed. He had to put a veil over his face. And so it is too with us, I think, that we are abiding in something, and I can tell where you've been abiding by the fruit.
if you've been abiding in Christ, there's fruit that's there. We're taking on the same characteristic of that which we're abiding in. The branch is not separated from the vine in any way, shape, or form. It's connected to the vine. It's drawing nourishment from the vine. And so it is for us in our lives as well. God's given us His presence as a tool for us. Something to help us here presently. That's why I love Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursdays here, Fridays, morning worship. The abiding presence of God. We just come and we just hang out. I keep talking about it because I believe in it. I really do. And I see it's a wonderful tool for you and me, the presence of God. Well, we have prayer God has given to us as help in this life. We also have, too, His presence where we draw nourishment and we are changed from the inside out. And then verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. There are those that you would say, ha, you just contradicted yourself, Steve. Burning process, it does take place. There is a tapping away. There is a cutting off. Ha ha, gotcha. No. Corinthians chapter 3, this is a reference, I believe, this burning in the fire is a reference to when our works will be cast into the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble will be burned, but that fruit which is of God and for the glory of God will remain. Chapter 3, Corinthians, verse 11, for no other foundation or vine can anyone lay or be connected to that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's works will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built is on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. If he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I believe that this is a reference not to the white throne judgment, but to the day of the Lord when we will be taken up into heaven and our works will be tried by fire, and that which is for God will remain. That which is not, our fruit, that will be burned up in the fires. Let me say this too, by the way. I believe that for the Christian, I believe the scriptures speak very clearly on this, that for the Christian there is no white throne judgment. There is no throne of judgment. Why? Because you've already been judged and found guilty, but Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. I think we go right to heaven. We go right to be with the Lord. To be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. And what the next thing for us in eternity is that our works will be tested by fire. I think that's what this is a reference here to. Our works will be tested by fire, but those that don't know Jesus Christ, they will have an appeal process. And it will be the white throne judgment where they will have to be able to offer their appeal. They'll be able to present their works to Jesus Christ, present their excuses for not having accepted Him, and God will pronounce a judgment on them. But let me say this, if you think that's your next escape, if you don't know Jesus Christ, let me say this, the cross will forever stand as God's final word concerning your works of righteousness. What about this? Why did I have to send my son? If you're still righteous, if you even have the ghost of any opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, if there were any way for you to be perfect, I would not have had that bring this cross. If there were any opportunity for you to have obtained righteousness or holiness according to my standard on earth, I never would have had to have the cross here. Never. You'll always have to answer to that. Always. So I believe here that chapter 15, verse 6, this is a reference to that time when our works will be tried by fire in eternity. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. There is the third thing that God has given to us as help here on earth as we're waiting for heaven. One, we have, the first thing that we have here is that we have His Word, we have His presence, and we have prayer here as well. We talked last week a little bit about prayer. I'm not going to belabor it much. Pick up the tape. I encourage you to. We talked about prayer, and the question is what is prayer? It's just such a communion with God, and the question arises, well, why then? I mean, why should I commune with God? Why should I offer my petitions before God? Why should I make my requests known to God if He knows the outcome of it already? What's the point of it? Why do it? Well, because the Bible tells us to pray. And secondarily, because in prayer we relate to God as a person, and He relates to us as people, not as things. And I love that. We also talked last week about what prayer is, how we pray in the nature of the Father. We pray in the name of the Father, which is His nature. We pray in His nature. We wouldn't walk up to a bank teller and say, or a 7-Eleven, a cashier and say, stick a gun at his head and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, give me all the money that's in the till. Well, that's not of the nature of Christ. It's not of the nature of the Father. It's not. We have here prayer where we commune with God. We make our requests known to Him, and He hears our requests. We have prayer available to us. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Did you notice the progression here too? There is no fruit. As we have gone through chapter 15, there is fruit. There is no fruit. There is more fruit. And now there's much fruit. There's kind of a progression there. That's how it happens when we abide in Christ. That's our connection to Him. There's no fruit. But then we begin to bear fruit. And then we begin to bear more fruit as He cleanses us. And as we give glory to Him, as we continue to grow in Him, we begin to bear much fruit. And that's the payoff, guys. I love that. I look back in my life. Look back on your life. When you first connected with Jesus Christ, you're a bunch of fruit. You're just flaky people, you know. We all were, every single one of us. We're just, boneheads. But we're connected with Jesus Christ, and because we've been abiding with Him, there's been fruit, and then much more fruit, and then much, much more fruit, because we're just connected to Him. You know, it's wonderful, and it's no strain. I like that. It's no strain. You know, I never see apple trees or peach trees just going, okay, bear fruit. You know? Finally, it's not that way. They just, springtime, I'll pop a couple buds got pieces, It just happens naturally. It's the same way when we are in Jesus Christ. We just begin to bear much fruit. There are lots of fruit. And we come to Him barren as we just abide in Him and connect. So, it's interesting talking about this abiding thing. I love peaches, I really do. And I could walk out to, some peach tree out here and I can cut off a limb and bring it into the house and, okay guys, we're going to have peaches here pretty soon. Let's watch and wait and hopefully the peaches grow. It hasn't been connected to the tree. And the fact is, it's been connected to the tree. It's disconnected from the tree. It's not going to be bearing fruit. It's just plain not. And that's why it's so important for us to be connected to Him so that we can bear much fruit. Not just bear fruit. But much fruit. Much fruit. All over the place. I love that. Verse 9 is, the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Next thing that God gives us, the last thing that God gives us as a resource here on this earth, is not only does He give us His Word, not only does He give us His presence, which are resources to us where we derive nourishment and take on His character, not only do we have prayer available to us, but we have obedience as well now. We just become obedient. I love the progression here too. We have the Word, we have His presence, we have prayer, and then the natural response is we're just obedient. We just do it. We read the Scriptures. It washes us. It cleanses us. We see Jesus Christ. We're connected, and we've got the Spirit of God within us. We're bearing fruit. We just go, wow, I'm going to be obedient. And obedience is no big deal when you know the Lord. When you're abiding in Christ, when you're connected, obedience is no big deal. You just do it because you realize, man, this is the pathway to more fruit. This is just, more fruit in my life. And you know what? God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. That's why He's giving us this right now, this message. I want you to be fruitful. I'm giving you the ability to bear fruit right now. I'm giving it to you. Staying connected to me. The Word, washing, prayer, my presence, and obedience, it just begins to happen within our lives. It's no big deal. These things, now here's the payoff. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Here it is. Here's the payoff. The results of all this, the results of the Word of God, His presence and prayer and obedience, there's joy. There's just joy. And if you're joyless at this point, you know, in your life, if you kind of feel like you're, you know, a dried prune or a grape, I mean a raisin when you're one full of grape right now, hey, maybe you need to be washed a little bit in the Word of God. Well, let me ask you, don't I, when was the last time you really were in the Word and you looked for Jesus Christ? When was the last time you came to church or a Bible study or had your own personal devotion when the light goes on for you? Ever had that happen to you? Wow! Oh, man, this is great. Thanks, Lord. I see you in this whole thing. Maybe you need to be washed a little bit. Maybe you feel a little bit downcast. I don't have joy right now. The Lord wants to lift you up. See Jesus Christ on the cross. Lift it up. When's the last time you were in His presence? I had a weekend down at Medford this last. I went down Thursday, spoke down at Applegate, sang, did a men's retreat up there. Didn't really want to go. I wanted to stay here, but you know something? It's what I needed, because I was in the presence of the Lord. And it's washing me. It's cleansing me. It's doing wonderful things within me, being in the presence of God. Looking forward to this week and coming out and just sitting here in the presence of the Lord, connecting to Him. I'm a branch. I'm connecting to the vine. My prayers take on new meaning as I just really pray from my heart rather than, not only me down the steeple, but on the soul of the steeple, but right, so the soul of the amen. There's my prayer. No. That's not prayer. Or just communicating, relating with Him as a person once again, and Him looking at us as a person. When's the last time you've had that kind of relationship with Him? Hey, joy. Joy that you know, like when you do these things, there is the joy. And here's the next thing that happens. When Jesus says, not only is there joy, if you do these things that I've given to you in your life, and I want you to be joyful. I want you, and that's why I've given you these things right now. Given you prayer and my word and my presence. So you can have joy and obedience. That's why. It's not there because I'm just the Godfather kind of guy. I'm up there because I'm Father God, and I want to bless you because you're my kids, and I want you to be joyful. I want that for you. And do these things now because it will bring joy into your life.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friends, and you are my friend if you do whatever I command you to do. The next thing here is this, is Jesus commands us to love unselfishly as he did, but he also enables us to love unselfishly as well. Go out and do what I've done. Love unselfishly. Go back to chapter 13 when I washed your feet. Be a servant. I'm commanding you to go out and do that. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. And I want you to love as I have loved, but I'm also enabling you to be able to love as I have loved. How? By abiding in the vine. You're secure in the vine. You're secure in me. You're tapped in. You have meaning in your life. You can be fruitful. I've given you gifts. And I want you to use those gifts for my glory. You've got a purpose. Given you something to do, man. You know what? The two things that we need the most in our life is security and significance. Talk to a woman. You know, we all need it. And they need security more so than they need significance in most cases, not every case. Men, they need significance oftentimes. Purpose in life more than security. A guy can kind of stick his neck out. Take some chances where oftentimes, from a lot of women, it's more difficult to stick their neck out. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to meet both those needs. You're going to be secure in me, in the vine. I'm going to give you some significance too, even your fruit. You know what that's going to do? With those two things taken care of, you'll be able to love as I did, selflessly. Because all your needs are going to be met. And you'll be able to love as I said, so I'm commanding you, I'm telling you to go into the world And I want you to love as I have loved. But I want you to know this too. I'm enabling you to be able to love as I have loved.
I love this.
Because I look at it and go, oh man, I'm commanded now to go out and love one another. See, that's hard for me to do. I'm commanded to do that. In fact, that's almost contradictory. Commanded to love. Love should be freeing and flowing. And Jesus here, in this whole teaching, is saying, I'm giving you the ability to do that very thing. I'm going to meet your needs. So you're not going to go out and give love with the expect of getting love back. You'll be able to do it as I did, sacrificially, ministerially, washing the feet of people, serving. I love this. You see, guys, Jesus has said, I'm giving you help on this life. Our perspective is the hope of heaven. While we're here, we hope, we look forward to heaven, knowing full well that the blessings we have in this life will never, ever, can never outweigh the blessings of eternity. So we make our investments in heaven, not in earth. We just do that. But God practically and wisely says, you're going to be here for a while. Keep your perspective on heaven, but know this too. I'm going to allow you to have joy here on this life by being in my word, being in my presence, praying. What's the last one? Being obedient. Thank you. You guys are good. That's a test. And being obedient. And the result is joy and the ability to do what Jesus told us to do. Make converts. To love unselfishly. Amen. Maybe you guys need to tap in a little bit today. I don't know. Maybe you need to tap into the vine a little bit. You know, it's no big deal. You just simply say, Father, I'm coming to you. Now wash me clean. Wash me clean right now. I'm just coming to you. I'm a little dry in my life right now, Father. I haven't been abiding in you. I've been abiding elsewhere. And you know what? It's showing up as fruit in my life. God just simply says, that's okay. If you confess your faults, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. Because I love you. I just love you. Tap in. Make the connection once again. If you don't know Jesus Christ, man, today's the day. Christ is passing by and he's saying, you know, I'm here to give you some fruit. I want you to have some fruit in your life. I want you to have joy. I want you to be able to love selflessly. He's here for you by just simply saying, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. I'm going to make the connection. But maybe you have made the connection. Maybe you are abiding in the vine. And God says, you know, I need you to get into my word a little bit. I'll meet you there. Come into my presence. Just kind of come and worship before me. Just sit in my presence. Receive nourishment from me. You're a little malnourished right now. Your fruit's a little bit squawny. I'm going to inject a little bit of some vitamins in you. That's just by sitting in his presence. Bearing much fruit. Praying. Relating to him as a person and him relating to us. Making our needs known to him. And then just doing the word. And the joy of fruit comes, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Today's the day, guys. I love this. The Lord. Hope for heaven? That's our perspective. But while we're here, he's given us help. And it's by abiding in the vine. Well, Father, this day, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this teaching. And my prayer, God, more than anything else, is that we would apply it to our lives practically, Father. Lord, if you were speaking to our hearts this day, Lord Jesus, may we not just go this away this day and say, well, I went to church today and heard some blues and got my ears blown out and saw the pastor do some funky stuff up there playing the guitar. No, Lord, my prayer is that we would leave here saying, I've been in the presence of God and you've touched me and you've drawn me and I know I got to make the connection once again. I'm dried figs, man. I'm dried prunes. I'm raisin head here. And Lord, I need a touch from you. I need a touch from you, Father. And the Lord's saying, hey, man, just make the connection to me once again. Real quickly, I'm not going to belabor this, but if you're here today, and there are some folks that are here for the first time, or maybe that just don't know, maybe you've been coming for long, and just don't know Jesus Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to say, yeah, I want to make the connection. If you want to say, yeah, I want to make the connection to Jesus Christ, I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you. If you just simply say, I want to receive Jesus Christ in my heart as Savior. I've been away for a while, or I'm here because God has drawn me. I simply want to pray for you. I would like you very quickly just to raise your hand right now. I'm looking and I want to pray for you. Put your hand in the air. If you say, I want to accept Jesus Christ, I want to make that connection. Okay. If you are here and you're saying, I've been away. I'm bearing fruit, but it's not the fruit that you're speaking of here. Righteousness, fruit of the Spirit, converts. I'm bearing fruit, but it's not that kind of fruit. I need to make the connection again. I need to re-up again. Honestly, before God, and He's going to see this, not me as much. If that's you, I want to make the reconnection. Would you raise your hand here? Because I just simply want to pray for you too. Okay. Good. Somebody else. I want to pray for you. Look, I need to make the connection. I'm dry. Okay. I'm dry. Father, you've seen these, Lord. And I thank you for the truth that's in the scriptures here, Lord. I thank you, Father, for how you have just practically spoken to us today about, how to be fruitful, Lord Jesus. How to be joyous is by connecting to you. Father, I pray for these, Lord, that have raised their hands right now. And I pray, Lord, that they would just now be making the connection with you. And feel, Lord, your life being infused to them right now, Lord. Like a transfusion as they're linking up to the vine once again, which is Jesus Christ. Over branches. And you support us, Lord. That's why you're there. We draw our nourishment and our strength and our support from the vine. I pray, God, now for those that have raised their hands, that they would just sense that strength coming into them right now, Lord Jesus. That forgiveness. That refreshment that comes only from you. For the rest of us, Lord Jesus, may we apply these things in a practical way in our life, Lord. No man knoweth the day or the hour. We look forward to your soon return, Lord Jesus, but while we're here, we are grateful that we don't have to wait joylessly, Father, until we get to heaven, that we can experience the joy even now as you've instructed us. So, Father, work these in our lives in a practical way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We just